Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Forget Centre Court, St Andrews or Wembley or all the big battlefields for sport in the world. The summer of sport at the moment is being fought over in boardrooms and backrooms as federations wrestle with the thorniest question of all. Should transgender women be allowed to participate in female sport? We've got an expert on the line right now from the UK, Joanna Harper. And Joanna, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome.
Now, you're a transgender woman and an athlete in your own right. You've done a lot of research on this issue. What have been your findings?
There are some very good reasons why we have men's and women's sport. However, transgender women are not men. And the hormone therapy that transgender women undertake introduces some significant changes in their athletic performance. It doesn't eliminate all the advantages of going through male puberty, but it certainly mitigates them. Mm. The question is, does it mitigate the advantages sufficiently to allow meaningful competition between trans women and cis women? The jury's still out on that, but I think that introducing bans of trans women or not allowing women who've been through male puberty to compete in women's sports, which both World Rugby and FINA have now done, I don't think those are called for.
You yourself are a scientist. Do you think this ruling has been based on science or more so opinion?
Well, it's based on the science between male athletes and female athletes. And that science is very well established. Yeah. And that's what, you know, we've heard over and over. And the suggestion is that trans women are just men who think they're women. And that's not true. And it's also not true that hormone therapy doesn't have a meaningful, a significant effect on the performance of trans women. But exactly what effect it has can't be ascertained until we have more robust studies on trans athletes. And so I think that these rulings by World Rugby and by FINA are premature at a minimum.
Yeah, this week FINA, the International Swimming Federation, adopted a new gender inclusion policy that only permits swimmers who are transitioned before the age of 12 to compete in women's events. Was this a surprise to you? By the sounds of it, it was, and also, like you say, premature. We've got to take time with this. We've got to be patient with this. We've got to make sure we get it right because it's very, very, very difficult to get it right at the moment with what we know.
I was disappointed but not particularly surprised by the FINA ruling. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that this was coming. And it's interesting. No trans woman has competed at an international level. Mm-hmm. FINA only governs international swimming. So where's the problem? I think that these rules are a reaction to one swimmer, Leah Thomas, who is never going to be good enough to swim internationally. You know, I think that this is an overreaction. It may be a panic on their part, but you know, disappointed but not surprised.
Joanna, can I ask, have you been excluded from competing in a sport?
No, I haven't. Restricted. Yeah. When I first transitioned, the requirement was for surgery plus 2 years of post-surgical hormones. Mm. And so that meant that there was a three-year period where I couldn't compete in women's competition. You know, some sort of waiting period is appropriate. The exact length, it's hard to say, but certainly surgery isn't required. And that's been well established. So, you know, I perhaps had a longer waiting period than I should have, but I was eventually allowed to compete.
Joanna, FINA also proposed to create a working group to establish an open category for transgender women in some events as part of its new policy. Do you think that would be a positive addition?
I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to at least see how it all shakes out before I condemn it. Some big questions. Will there be Olympic gold medals in the open category? Will people competing in the open category be able to earn a living from their sport? These are big questions. They haven't been answered. Until they are answered, I'm willing to see what they do.
And if other sports follow suit in line with FINA and World Rugby, I mean, what's the impact going to be on trans kids I guess, in the community, in your eyes?
Certainly in England, where I live, we've seen that the World Rugby ruling had a very chilling effect on trans participation in rugby. But the numbers, which were small to begin with, have gone down by approximately a factor of four in terms of the number of trans women participating in rugby. So I would assume that the Athena ruling will have a similarly chilling effect on trans participation in swimming. And you know, at grassroots level, at recreational sports, we should be encouraging marginalized minorities to participate more in sports. Doing sports is good for everyone, trans and cis people, and we should encourage it.
Last Friday, Joanna, cycling's governing body, the UCI, they opted to ride down a slightly different path. It too accepts that the science shows that trans women have an advantage, but it says that some unfairness to females in sport is acceptable in exchange for being inclusive. Thoughts on that?
I think that the UCI philosophy is a good philosophy. I think that, you know, I applaud them for their approach. The 2.5 nanomoles per liter is a testosterone limit. It introduces some screening difficulties, and it also introduces some difficulties on exactly what you do with fluctuations in testosterone in trans athletes. But I think that it's probably workable, and I applaud the UCI.
Joanna, what do you think the solution is here?
Well, there isn't a magic bullet solution, unfortunately. But I do think that restricting trans women who've been through male puberty, restricting their testosterone levels is a good start. There may be other sport-by-sport restrictions that are necessary. The International Volleyball Federation only allows each national team to have one trans woman. I don't think that's unreasonable. Yeah. Height isn't affected by hormone therapy. Height's important in volleyball. Again, of course, no trans woman has competed internationally in volleyball. So this ruling hasn't come into effect. But I don't see restrictions like that as being unreasonable. I do think restricting trans women to only those who've never experienced male puberty is unreasonable.
Joanna, it's lovely to talk to you, and let's just hope the International Olympic Committee and all these other sports listen to people like you, have conversations with you, and take the right time with patience to come up with the right result. We always look for a win-win in sport, don't we? We want everyone to participate. We want it to be fair. We want it to be even. This one at the moment, we haven't quite got there, but these discussions will only help us get there in the end, and that's all we can hope for. And thank you so much for your time and waiting up for us over there in England tonight.
It was my pleasure. And it was a great way to start my morning.
Have a wonderful day. And if this chat has brought up any feelings or any triggers to emotion, we know we've got some great mates at Lifeline 13 11 14.